Hello and welcome to Background Briefing, available 24/7 at ianmasters.com. I'm Ian Masters, and today we'll examine a number of stories and issues in the news. We'll begin with the possibility that a huge chemical plant 20 miles from Houston could explode at any moment and investigate the reasons why explosive and hazardous materials are in suburban areas of Texas, and why, after the 2013 explosion of a fertilizer plant in Ward, Texas, the requirement to make the public aware of where hazardous materials are stored was rescinded by the now governor of Texas, Greg Abbott, whose government has given the owner of the volatile chemical plant, Arkema, $8.7 million in taxpayer subsidies. An historian at the University of Houston, Dr. Robert Bozanko, joins us to explain how this industrial corridor along the increasingly vulnerable Gulf Coast, known as the Chemical Coast or Cancer Alley, because of the concentration of oil, gas, and chemical plants, came about, and the extent to which the lobbying group, the American Chemistry Council, has bought the entire Texas Republican congressional representation, along with its U.S. senators and, most of all, Governor Greg Abbott. Then we'll speak with Marco Barajas, the civil rights reporter for the Texas Observer, about the disproportionate impact Hurricane Harvey has had and continues to have on the poor and minority communities around Houston and along the Gulf Coast. We will look into the lack of zoning and regulations that allows dangerous chemical plants in urban and suburban communities, and the lobbying power of the oil, gas, and chemical industries over the electoral power of minorities in Texas. Then finally, we'll examine the firing of a group of scholars at the New America Foundation at the behest of Google, a major donor to the foundation that is using its extraordinary monopoly power and political muscle to silence researchers who had the temerity to call Google a monopoly. Jonathan Taplin, the founder and director emeritus of the Innovation Lab at the Annenberg School for Communication at the University of Southern California, and author of Move Fast and Break Things, How Google, Facebook, and Amazon Cornered Culture and Undermined Democracy, joins us to discuss Google's growing dominance and his article at the New York Times, Google's Disturbing Influence Over Think Tanks. And joining us now is Dr. Robert Bozanko, who is a professor of history at the University of Houston, where he teaches 20th century U.S. history and diplomatic history. He's also one of the nation's leading authorities on the Vietnam War and the dynamics that encompassed that time period. Welcome to Background Briefing, Dr. Robert Bozanko.
Thank you.
And Robert, I'm asking you as an historian, obviously of the Vietnam War, for example, and of 20th century American history, to be an historian of political corruption in Texas. That's your task for today, because it seems to, the more you learn about the hazardous chemicals that could explode at any moment at the plant nearby where you are in Crosby, Texas, and the political muscle that was used to prevent any oversight of this plant that could explode at any moment. They've evacuated a 1.5-mile radius of suburban homes around this plant owned by a French company, Arkema. Mm-hmm. And we're now learning that, of course, not only does it have the chemicals that they've announced that they have, but also in addition to that, apparently there are large amounts of toxic sulfur dioxide and flammable methyl propane. And the EPA was about to require the company to submit a risk management plan to the agency, which would have subjected the company to strengthening its safety rules. But those rules, which would have taken effect on March the 14th, were blocked by the new Trump EPA administrator, Scott Pruitt. And then, of course, the Texas congressional delegation have received an enormous amount of funding from Arkema through the lobbying group that they use, which is the American Chemistry Council. And we're talking about Senator John Cornyn, Republican Representative Joe Barton, Representative Pete Olson, Representative Gene Green, Representative Pete Sessions, and Representative Kevin Brady. So that's just one piece of the picture. I want to get into the history of how corrupt politics have endangered the public in Texas and exposed them to greater risks to their health and safety. But let's begin with the status on this chemical plant in Crosby. It could explode at any moment, I take it.
Yeah, I mean, like you just said, there's been a general evacuation. The story has worsened, you know, first thing this morning that, you know, there was no danger and these were organic chemicals and, you know, yet 21 people were immediately brought to the hospital. And, you know, as the day's gone on, it's gotten worse. And like you just said, now they're talking about sulfur dioxide. I mean, the whole area actually has, you know, kind of petrochemical leaching. Houston, you know, everybody thinks about oil for obvious reasons, but this is also one of the biggest, maybe the biggest petrochemical industrial area in the country as well. And so it's really a toxic a brew. And, you know, something like a bad storm can really become cataclysmic.
Well, on top of that, you know, this Arkema, a French company, has 6 production plants in Texas. And it's received more than $8.7 million worth of taxpayer subsidies from the state of Texas. So on top of exposing the citizens of Texas to incredible risks and incredible health hazards, here you have the government of Texas subsidizing these people and turning a blind eye to all of the health and safety rules that normally apply in other states and at the federal level, even though, of course, as I just pointed out, the new EPA administrator, Scott Pruitt, blocked efforts to require this plant that's about to blow up to submit a risk management plan.
Right. I mean, you know, the thing is, you know, we can look at this and call it corruption. In Texas, it's business. And with the new EPA, it's business. So, you know, they don't think there's anything corrupt about it. I hadn't known about Arkema until today, really, last night and today. But the idea of subsidizing these companies is nothing new. Oil companies get billions of dollars in subsidies. The governor, Greg Abbott, there was a terrible explosion in 2014 in West Texas. I believe it was an ammonia plant. I don't remember specifically. And after that, he actually weakened reporting rules so that now if you want to know, you know, what kind of chemicals are there, there's no mandate that they have to tell you. You can send them a letter and request, and then they can, you know, basically sit on it. So even, you know, people who would be responsible for any kind of rescues or fire departments or emergency workers might not even know what kind of chemicals are in a particular area, which seems to be the case with Arkema in Crosby, which is about 25 or so miles from downtown Houston. So this is the way things are done, especially in Texas. It's just unbridled, unregulated, you know, kind of what they would call the free market capitalism, you know, get the government out of everything and let people kind of do it their own way. And that's just the way this state is run on everything, whether it be, you know, guns, women's health, whatever. They want to basically just kind of let people do whatever they want. And in a case like this, with these, you know, kind of petrochemical and oil companies, many of which disproportionately affect lower income communities, communities of color, there's just really very little, if any, really no oversight on them at all.
And as again, we don't know when this plant, or I mean, I think it's not a question of if, because apparently they expect this Arkema plant in Crosby, Texas, to explode at any moment. But you were referring to the April 2013 explosion in West Texas, West being the name of the town,
right,
at a fertilizer company that exploded and killed 15 people. It was built right next door to an old age retirement home, which shows you that there's no rules about planning going on anywhere. And the people in the retirement home had no idea there were explosives next door to them. It was a terrible explosion. Shortly after that explosion, the Attorney General Greg Abbott, he was Attorney General, he later became governor,
right,
a year later.
Running for governor, right?
Yeah, he received a $25,000 contribution from a first-time donor to his political campaign, the head of Koch Industries Fertilizer Division, by the name of Chase Koch, who's the son of one of the billionaire Koch brothers. And then later, Abbott received more than $75,000 from Koch Industries after this explosion. So there's a direct link there. But I mean, the Koch brothers, of course, have pretty much bought the Congress. So it's not surprising they've bought these crooks down in Texas. But what is your understanding then of whether all these people in such distress who've lost their homes, etc., has any of this culpability kind of come out? Is anybody asking Abbott, why did you do this? Because the what specifically happened was that he removed the obligation for what they call Tier 2 inventory reporting. And that required all companies that were storing dangerous and hazardous chemicals to report their inventories and make them public. And normally when you have a terrible tragedy like the West explosion of the fertilizer plant, there's an outcry from the public and there's reform. Well, the opposite happened in Texas. There wasn't reform.
Right.
The Texas governor, Abbott, then rescinded the requirement to publicly post this Tier 2 information. And just yesterday, the Houston Chronicle asked the plant manager of this plant that's about to explode in Crosby, Texas, about the Tier 2 inventory, and he refused to answer what they have inside that building. I mean, and God knows, do the first responders know as well? This is, I just find this unbelievable.
I mean, by all accounts, the first responders didn't know, because today, when they got there, they were hit by this kind of this toxic stew, and many of them were sent to emergency. You know, the entire state is essentially bought and paid for by all of these big corporations, especially oil and petrochemicals. And, you know, when, like you said, when things go wrong, they don't kind of try to cover their tracks. They double down, much like Trump and the EPA does. You know, they're fairly unrepentant and uncompromising. And what you have in Texas, especially in this area here, is this massive area with intense growth. Its population's increased 25% just in the last 15 years or so. The area like that was really hit hard, Galveston, Brazoria County, Harris County, is bigger than New Jersey. And, you know, there every year, hundreds of thousands of acres, not necessarily every year, but over the course of years, hundreds of thousands of acres of great green are plowed under for asphalt. You have two dams in the west, which are both about to breach. They're doing controlled flooding and flooding neighborhoods so they don't bust, and they don't blow up, erupt. They both were rated one, which is the lowest rating by the Corps of Engineers. The bayous are inadequate. I mean, these aren't surprises. Everybody's known about this. There have been, I don't know how many studies, you know, the University, Rice University, Texas A&M, the Houston Chronicle, ProPublica did a one last year called Hell or High Water, which detailed all of these problems, which, you know, go with like this boundless development. And, you know, everybody's aware of it, but the buzzwords around here are things like innovation and all these kind of Orwellian terms, innovation and development, and that, you know, so they'll pay lip service. Oh, yeah, we have this problem, and a huge hurricane could destroy us all, but then they don't do anything about it.
So you live down there, and one of the things that I find extraordinary is that you have this incredible industrial corridor along the coast there of the Gulf, stretching across Texas and Louisiana and into Alabama and Mississippi. And it's so much of it is oil, gas, and chemicals, but it's also this incredibly vulnerable part of the country that's experiences storms and more lately superstorms and will in the future, because of global warming, be hit by even bigger storms. So describe that corridor to us, because we were talking yesterday to a wetlands specialist from the Gulf Restoration Project in New Orleans, and he was just listing some of the, you know, the Exxon plant, for example, that right there in Houston, and all of these big plants right on the coast. So describe it to us, and what's it like?
I mean, the Gulf Coast touches both Louisiana and Texas. And both states are just, you know, full of petrochemical and oil industry plants. There's a lot of offshore oil platforms in the Gulf in those areas as well. You know, in Texas, you have all the way up the coast, Houston, Baytown, League City, Pasadena, oil and petrochemical plants. And then you have, of course, the Houston Ship Channel, which is man-made. Which was cut. There's about a 25-mile cut into it, so a storm, if it ever hits that, could, you know, actually go. I mean, you could have a Category 4 storm in Houston with that. In addition to that, obviously, then all those refineries and all those chemical plants are at risk. And this storm, fortunately, in the initial surge, none of them were destroyed or damaged like the problem in Arkema is because of the flooding, which destroyed the generator, which destroyed the refrigeration, and then the backup generators got wet as well. But yeah, all along that area, I mean, it's also known as Cancer Alley in both Louisiana and Texas because Deer Park, Pasadena, all these cities, you can smell them. Like if you're driving I-10 eastward, I mean, you could smell it when you get near it because the toxic, fumes are so great. Every few years, there's a refinery explosion. There was one, I think, in Baytown not long ago where 14 people died. So it's just, a lot of these places have several EPA violations on the record. They don't do anything about them. The EPA doesn't follow through on them. And they just kind of operate in this kind of, Texas is kind of a Wild West. They see themselves that way. And that's the way they kind of conduct business here.
Well, apparently it's also known as the Chemical Coast, but you're saying it's locally known as Cancer Alley.
Both. I mean, they're not separate. Yes. Mm-hmm. I mean, you have these toxic plants. You have very high rates of cancer in both Louisiana and Texas in these communities where these factories are, and they tend to be communities where poor people live, of course. And I mean, the people who own them don't live there. They live in like River Oaks in Houston or, wherever. And they're particularly vulnerable. Galveston is particularly vulnerable. Just got hit hard. Dixon, all of these coastal cities where there's a lot of commerce, a lot of shipping, a lot of refineries are there. And, it's only a matter of time before something much worse than Harvey hits. Ike was bad. I mean, it's just frequent here. You had, they got in it last year where the tax day floods because it happened on like around April 15th. The year before that, the Memorial Day floods. The year before that, the August floods, Hurricane Ike, Tropical Storm Allison, now Harvey. I mean, just I've been here 22 years, and, there's just constant flooding. The bayous don't hold. You can be on the road, and, and 45 minutes later, your car's underwater. Because there's just asphalt everywhere, everybody's aware of it. It's not a surprise. It's not something you can hide. Republican congressmen and businessmen all say this the right stuff, but then nobody does anything about it.
And you mentioned the wealthy area of Houston, River Oaks. Is that underwater like the rest of the city?
It probably got some water. I haven't been over there. It's a little more elevated. Houston is mostly flat, and so it's flat and it's full of concrete. But River Oaks isn't really near a bayou or any of the lower lying areas. And even if it is, they're fine. Their places will be fixed within a few weeks. There's the area near the University of Houston where I teach, the Third Ward, is predominantly working class African Americans. And that area floods easily because the Braze Bayou is right next to it. But on the other side of Braze Bayou are like million-dollar homes on McGregor Boulevard. And so both areas were probably hit equally hard. But obviously those mini mansions on McGregor will be repaired and people will move back and they'll be okay. Whereas a lot of these people in the Third Ward are, they're flooded out. And then even if they're not, their cars might be, they're going to have to deal with, stuff that got wet, mold going forward. Mold problem is horrible here under the best of circumstances. Mm-hmm. So, these people's lives are probably not going to reconstruct for who knows, if ever.
Now, have you yourself been flooded in the past?
No, I'm 52 feet up, so it's like a mountain over here. But Allen Parkway, which is less than a mile from where I am, is underwater, was underwater. The local CBS affiliate got flooded, and that happens pretty frequently here. But, I was high enough that, we didn't get any of it, and we didn't even lose power, the neighborhood where I am. And most of downtown Houston wasn't too bad. The suburbs got it way worse. Especially out west, like I-10 west area, and then the Beaumont area really got nailed, which is mm-hmm. east. It's about 80 to 100 miles east of Houston. Sure. But Houston itself, the downtown and the areas inside what's called the Loop, the 610 Loop, weren't nearly as bad.
Well, just in closing, going back to this plant in Crosby, Texas, you say 20 miles outside of Houston, that they've had to evacuate a 1.5-mile radius around it, mostly suburban homes, and already first responders have been affected by noxious chemicals. My understanding is that they could have spiked this inventory of chemicals, this organic peroxide and all this other stuff that we mentioned, that would have neutralized it. But they didn't do that because that would have destroyed the inventory in-house, which seems like a short-term, greedy and stupid thing. If the whole place is going to blow up, then you would have been better off spiking the volatile mix that's about to explode.
Yeah, I mean, I read that. I don't know anything beyond that. But honestly, I hate to say this, it's not surprising. These, you know, plants which have ignored environmental decrees and failed inspections for years and done nothing about it, only to see, you know, 15 people die, don't really have much regard for that. I think there's no planning. That's one of the funniest things when people talk about evacuation. I mean, evacuation would have consisted of saying, get the hell out of here. And there was no plan. I mean, it would have just been, you would have had this traffic, you know, this parking lot on the highways where you probably would have thousands of people dead from flooding. There's no planning, none. I mean, it's anathema here. It's really kind of cowboy capitalism. And so, you know, if that doesn't surprise me, if it's true that they refused to neutralize the toxins in that because they didn't want to lose the inventory, I think, you know, it's a simple ledger, you know, consideration for them, how much money they can save.
Well, Doctor,
so I believe it.
Well, Dr. Robert Bezanko, I thank you very much for joining us here today.
Thank you.
And again, I've been speaking with Dr. Robert Bezanko, who's a professor of history at the University of Houston, where he teaches 20th century U.S. history and diplomatic history. He's also one of the nation's leading authorities on the Vietnam War and the dynamics that encompassed that time period. We're going to take a brief station break and back looking into the extraordinary monopoly power of Google, flexing their muscles, firing a group of researchers from the New America Foundation.